Now we're going to summarize what we have learned, and tomorrow we will continue learning, so that we make sure that all the participants here who live can have confidence to continue this meditation in their free time. It is very important also that one gets used to this meditation, because as I have just emphasized in the interview, it is our habits that make ourselves. Our habits are changing, but they don't change fast. We have to cultivate. If we are what we are, it is because we have cultivated certain habits. When we do meditation, we understand that most of our habits are not very good habits. When we don't do meditation, we don't understand it very clearly. The meditation is not any miracle. The more one understands meditation, the more one will feel meditation is just a natural thing. Nothing, even the most mystical things in meditation, all supernatural powers, is quite a natural thing. If one understands meditation, it will become more and more clear, because the mind is clear. What makes mind clear is precisely meditation. So it is so important to make meditation a habit. Because we don't have this habit of meditation, our mind is deluded about what we're doing. No matter what we do, when without the habit of meditation, we will be always deluded about what we're doing. And you cannot decide, you will not be deluded about what you're doing. You have to get the habit of clarity of the mind. This is the paradox of the whole thing. If you decide don't want to be deluded, it only shows your delusion. But if you have the habit of meditation, you don't have to decide anything, but you will see very clearly. And this is the what we want to attain in meditation. Breath, meditation on breath or meditation on anything is just the skillful means to get this habit of clear mind. Clear mind, when it becomes habit, will never leave you. And the more habit you have of it, less trouble you will encounter in life. Life actually is very complicated, but the meditation is very simple. I'll explain and always emphasize it is as simple as a simple can be. But because it is so simple, in some way or another, we do not want simple. We want very complicated, because this is the way we were made. We were made by our education, by our society, by our family. The meditation is clarity itself, and the clarity is always very simple. So, to get this simplicity, we have to do simple thing. And the simple thing is just purely observing. The breath is a means for doing the simple thing, is simply observing the breath coming and going. As simple as that. Not deciding how the breath should be, but only observing it. if we can do it effectively, then we will be able to do it also the whatever we do in life with more and more clarity. Because that we can't do it, it is also because we don't do things that we do with clarity. So, the clarity can only come when we have established ourselves in the object of our observation. That is why this meditation is called Anapanasati. Sati means the establishing. When we established ourselves in the object of observation, we will remember the object of observation. When we have not established ourselves in the object of observation, we will not remember it. Now, if you remember certain things in life, in your what happened in your childhood, if you remember your mother, if you remember your father, if you remember these things, it is because you were established in the observation of these things. Because you have experienced them intensively. What we don't experience intensively, that we do not remember. Only we remember that which we experience with intensity, right? Intensity is connected with clarity. The meditation is very deep because it is very clear and very intense. The condition for this meditation on breath is that you experience the breath very intensively, very clearly. Then, impossible, the mind will go somewhere else. It is only because you don't experience the breath intensively, very clearly, that the mind goes somewhere else. When the mind goes somewhere else, if you meditating on the breath, it is due to defilements, nothing else. Those people who don't meditate, they are not aware of their defilements. It is when we meditate that we become aware of the defilement. Becoming aware of the defilement is the process of defilements losing their power. The defilements are very powerful because we are not aware of them. We are not mindful of them. So this meditation is called mindfulness of the in-breath and out-breath. Because the essence of this meditation is not only to be mindful of the in-breath and out-breath, but also of the mind which is observing the in-breath and out-breath. When the mind becomes established on the in-breath and out-breath, it will be able to follow each and every in-breath and out-breath in one place from the beginning to the end. Even so, the meditator is aware the beginning of in-breath is at the nostrils where he is experiencing the breath, the middle is in the chest, the end is in the lower abdomen, then beginning of the out-breath is in the lower abdomen, the middle is in the chest, the end is at the nostrils. Even so, the meditator can be aware of this. He stays in one place where he experiences his in-breath and out-breath and gets a habit of staying there. And gets habit of staying there with the mind which does not think and with a mind which does not get scattered. If he can do it, his observation of the breath will become very natural. the observation of the breath is not natural precisely because of the defilements. Defilements, according to Buddhism, are the all connected with the complex of liking and disliking. Because we are deeply rooted in this complex of liking and disliking, we do not see the things as they really are, and we create illusions about the things. So the pure observation, by purely observing the breath, then one will be aware of the obstacles of this pure observation. Unless one does this meditation of purely observing the breath, one will not be aware of the obstacles of this pure observation. Because one is used always to judge things in terms of liking and disliking. And if there is no liking and disliking, what will happen? One will search for liking and disliking. One will become distracted. This is the complex of ignorance which is getting broken by the process of pure observation. When we become aware of it, we are reducing the power of our defilements. When the actor on the stage, to use the Lanka Avatara Sutra famous example, when the actor on the stage knows that the spectator knows his makeup, that he knows his what he is representing and how he is representing it, then he will then the actor on the stage will become very embarrassed because he is relying on the delusion of the actor of the spectator. The spectator being so influenced by his movements, by his makeup, by his, so he has a certain idea, illusion, that he has to be like this, he has to represent this and that. That similarly, when you purely observe the breath, suddenly you will see that all these defilements, they in a way, they are nothing to do with the nature of the object, nature of the in-breath and out-breath. The in-breath and out-breath is just the coming and going of the wind. But the mind, because it wants to desperately hold to this coming and going of the wind, makes it unnatural, makes it either unclear or makes unnatural. Because the mind is unnatural, the breath becomes unnatural. Please be aware of it. When the mind is just naturally watching, the breath adapts to this natural watching and also becomes natural. The natural breath is that which is the, so to say, the result of this natural observation. If you get more deeply involved in this natural observation, even if the body has trouble, even if the breath becomes very very difficult, you will still be able to observe it naturally. The core of this meditation, the most important part of this meditation is mind. The breath is only the skillful means for training this mind. The mind which can just purely observe. We all of us, without exception, we will have to go through all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of turbulences. But the mind which is used to meditation, it will experience it with pure observation. This is what you will attain by becoming habituated with this meditation. When you have the habit of this meditation, you will have the habit of just pure observation. Even so, we have to do many, many kinds of things. This pure observation will not leave us. It will stay with us. So, the pure observation does not mean that you cannot do anything, as some of us may think, but it means that we can do things more effectively because we do it and at the same time there is pure observation of doing it. The defilements, according to Buddhism, they are not something which is natural to the mind. They are unnatural. The nature of the mind is just reflecting the objects. It is the defilements which prevent this natural function of the mind of just reflecting the object. According to Buddhism, the nature of our perception and the nature of the world is appearance and disappearance in each and every moment of perception. In this appearance and disappearance of in each moment of the perception, the mind also appears and the object also appears and disappears in each and every moment of perception. If it was not so, we would not be able to change our object. We are able to change our object because this process of change is going on all the time. But now, because we are identifying with this change, we are getting into all kinds of troubles. Is it so or not? So this pure observation means that you train to stay with your breath. When you stay with your breath, the breath will become a very clear object. This is not only about the breath, it is about everything that we experience in life. When we stay with it, with a clear mind, we will experience it intensively and we will experience it wisely. We will experience it as a clear object and we will be able to remember it clearly and we will be able to understand its conditioning also very clearly. Otherwise not. Then we can solve all problems very effectively. Because we are aware of what is happening. When we are not aware of what is happening, we cannot solve the problems. So, the breath is naturally happening. You don't need to do anything. It is always happening. It just comes in and goes out. You don't need to do anything about it. It is naturally happening because when the body and the mind is together, we have to breathe. If you decide not to breathe, what will happen? If you are very obstinate, then you may die. But usually, because we are so attached to life, we will not die. We will certainly start gasping for breath after some time, right? Actually, you don't need to do anything at all, because the things are all is happening for you. All you have to do is just to be aware of it. When you become aware of it, when you become mindful of it, then you will be able to see the next step after counting the breath. Counting the breath will make the breath clear object, will make the experience of the breath intense experience. The counting of the breath, having made the experience of the breath clear and intense, will allow you to observe the whole process of in-breath and out-breath in one place, and the whole process of the mind watching the in-breath and out-breath also in one place. So this is called, the second stage is called anugamana, the following the breath. Following the breath does not mean follow it inside the body and and outside the body. It means following it in the place where you experience the breath. Round about the nostrils, where you get used to the breath. There you will follow the whole process of in-breath and out-breath, let it be short or long, you don't decide, you just watch it. And also the mind which is aware of the breath. And that mind which is aware of the breath, you will also be aware how it influences the quality of the breath. The more you are aware of the mind which watches the breath, the more subtle also becomes the breath, because the breath is the mind created corporeality. What is other mind-created corporeality? Our speech. Our speech is also the mind-created corporeality. When you become aware of the speech, your speech will become different. When you're not aware of the speech, your speech is also very different. Is it right or not? Now, what is another mind-created corporeality? Our bodily movements. According to Buddhism, we can move our body because of the mind-created wind. This mind-created wind is moving the body. You have to decide to move, then you can move. Unless you decide to move, you will not move. If you decide to move with mindfulness and awareness, the movement will be different. If you not aware and mindful of what you're doing, the movement will be completely different. You don't need any supernatural powers. By observing how the people move and speak and breathe and breath, you can see their conditionings of the mind very clearly. No need to have even supernatural power. If you have them, so much the better. And this is a world of mindfulness and awareness. Everything we do is connected with it. When we do with mindfulness and awareness, our movement becomes flowing, smooth. Our speech becomes flowing, smooth. Our breath becomes flowing, smooth. Everything we do will become different. When we do without mindfulness and awareness, no matter what we do, the quality of that what we do will be different. You are now training on the breath in order to see this very clearly. Some people think that they have to do many, many things. Modern man has to be very active, very competitive. If he is aware of what he is doing, he can do it well. But this is only because of lack of experience. When one has the habit, then he will not think like that. So the second stage is follow the breath and the mind, which is watching the breath, with each and every in-breath and out-breath from the beginning to the end in one place, and cultivate this mind. The breath depends, the experience of breath depends on the experience of the mind. This is what one will be very clear about. This meditation is in the scriptures described as the entrance into the satipatthana, entrance into the practice of four foundations of mindfulness. The first entrance into the practice of the four foundations of mindfulness is mindfulness of the body. The breath belongs to the body. It is the body, body bound. It is made of the four elements and the materiality derived of the four elements. It is clearly part of our body. It cannot be separated from our body. As long as we breathe, we are alive. This is a fact. Difference between the mindful breathing and the non-mindful breathing is like difference between the heaven and the earth. Very different. When we breathe mindfully, we will be aware that the more mindful of the breath we will become, the more subtle the breath will become. More aware we are of the breath, the more subtle the breath will become. So the entrance into this meditation of the four foundations of mindfulness, which is the only way to awakening according to Buddhism, is the mindfulness of the body. Breath represents the body. And when the breath becomes more subtle due to mindfulness and awareness of the breath, the mind also becomes more subtle. The subtle mind can only exist with a subtle breath. According to Buddhism, it is not the nature of the outside world which determines the nature of our perception, even so, of course, it influences it. It is the perception which defines the nature of the outer world. The more you practice meditation on breath, the more you will be aware of it. These crazy thoughts don't come from the outside world, they come from the mind. when you practice a meditation on breath, and when you follow the in-breath and out-breath, and the mind which is watching the in-breath and out-breath, you will be aware of it more and more. And becoming more and more aware of it, the more your mind and the breath connected with it will become more subtle. This is the training of following the whole body of the breath. The whole body of the breath is called bodily formation. Why it is called bodily formation? Because I have just said, whatever we do, we speak, we move our body, it is by the wind. And it is by the mind created wind. And the nature of the mind created wind is also the nature of the mind. And the nature of the breath, sorry. Not of the mind. So, this is how you will become aware. The more mindfulness and awareness in the observation of the breath, the more subtle the breath becomes. Then if the wisdom of observing the breath, pure observation of the breath grows, the breath experience of the breath will become more and more subtle. Then when the experience of the breath becomes more subtle, the mind will have more and more satisfaction in observing the breath, more and more clarity and relaxation, and the easier the meditation will become. The sign of the ability of the mind to become subtle, and the sign of the subtle breath is when the color appears at the place where you are watching the in-breath and the out-breath, color or the light. It will make you aware that you are now able to watch the in-breath and out-breath with equal mind and with detached mind. So it will be the result of your ability to watch each and every in-breath and out-breath in one place with equal mind, removing the obstacles to pure observation. Obstacles to pure observation can be summarized as a thinking mind and the agitated mind. They are, when understood in a wider sense, they are called the five obstacles. Five obstacles means the attachment. Attachment to what? Attachment to the, especially to the five senses. The mind is agitated because it is attached to the five senses. It is attached to the attached and searches for the beautiful or pleasant sights and sounds and smell and taste and especially bodily touch, and desiring these pleasant sensations connected with experiences of these sensual objects makes the mind agitated. In order to get rid of this agitation, one has to practice concentration. Without concentration, you will not get rid of this search for pleasant objects of the five senses. When there is search for the pleasant object of the five senses, there will be also repulsion towards the unpleasant sensations. Because the attachment to pleasant sensations of the five senses means also the repulsion of the unpleasant sensations. It is the complex. There is no question of not having, not getting the repulsion or hate or resistance when you don't have attachment. There is no question of attachment without having repulsion. So they are like two coins of the two sides of the same coin. Now this repulsion or attachment to the sensual objects is the main obstacle to meditation. It makes the mind unable to be concerned with mental objects. Meditation objects are mental objects. The in-breath and out-breath that you are experiencing, when your mind becomes settled on it, it will become also a mental object. Because you don't observe the pushing sensation, the heat and the coolness, you are observing the mere fact of the in-breath and out-breath. You are observing the concept of the in-breath and out-breath. Who experiences the concept of the in-breath and out-breath? Mental consciousness, not the bodily consciousness. In the beginning, for the beginning meditators, the experience of bodily consciousness may be very intense, but when you get better concentration and more awareness, more mindfulness, it will be the mental consciousness which will predominate, not the bodily consciousness goes to background. So even so, you may have some bodily sensations, some pain and so on, you will not pay much attention to it because you are concerned with the mental objects, not with the sensual objects. Only the when the mind gets established on the mental objects, it becomes stable. The mind established on the sensual objects is always unstable mind. Very important to understand that. Now, when you are able to observe the in-breath and out-breath with pure awareness, with mindfulness, then what will happen? Liking and disliking will become less and less. Then the agitated mind and the thinking mind become less and less. First step is to get rid of gross agitations. Thinking this and thinking that and forgetting breath. If you can get it, if you can get rid of the gross agitations, usually you will get gross thinking, because the mind, when it has got established on the object and it has some experience of concentration, it will start feeling comfortable. When it starts feeling comfortable, it will forget the breath and it will think. So if you want to make progress in meditation, you should not get deluded about it when there is some pleasant sensation in the body and the mind, don't get involved with it. Continue with your investigation of the breath, in-breath and out-breath, and of the mind observing the in-breath and out-breath, and make the mind equal. Only then you will be able to go deeper into meditation. Otherwise you will remain on the surface. And I, in my small experience of teaching meditation for some years, I have found meditators who have been meditating 20, 30 years, just getting some pleasant sensation in the body and the mind, and forgetting the breath and just sitting there. Even after 20 years, no progress in meditation. Just get stuck there. Unless you continue investigating your meditation object and experience it with clarity, there will not be any progress. Because this meditation is the mindfulness of the breath and the in-breath and out-breath. You may be thinking, I'm now very comfortable, but if you are not mindful of the in-breath and out-breath, you lost your meditation. You are nowhere. So in this process of following the in-breath and out-breath, you should always make sure that you don't allow your mind to think or to get agitated on the in-breath and out-breath. Agitated mind means also the mind paying attention to the objects outside and the mind paying attention to these crazy ideas that come. If you can check these tendencies, your mind will become more and more equal. Then you will get deeper into meditation. Then you will be able to establish equal mind on the breath and then all these deeper stages of concentration will come. But how and we will talk about it more tomorrow. Now, another thing which is to be explained before we scatter is walking meditation. What to do during the walking meditation? Because most of us, if you go to the forest and you just stay in the forest, then during the walking meditation you can also continue paying attention to the breath. If you can do it, it's fine. But because most of us are active in daily life and we need meditation to be do what we do more effectively, it's not advisable to stay with the contemplate the in-breath and out-breath, long or short, during the walking meditation. You should pay attention to what you're doing. You are walking, so your mind is on walking. And you should, your attention should be on the walking. You should pay attention to the surface of the feet touching the ground. And balance so that you get a clear impression of this placing and rising your feet. Placing the feet on the three cushions. Those who have studied yoga know that the firm support is essential for sitting, walking. So paying attention to the three cushions on your feet touching the ground. Then placing them equally. While doing that, you keep your mind empty of everything else. While watching breath, mind empty of everything else. While walking, just walking, mind empty of everything else. But because you are habituated to the meditation of in-breath and out-breath, you still can be aware of the in-breath and out-breath. But being aware and paying attention is not the same. You should know it very clearly. when you pay attention, you can only pay attention to one thing. You cannot pay attention to two things. But while paying attention to one thing, you can still be aware of everything what is going on. And if you you have concentration on what you're doing, your awareness of everything else will be more. Now, because you are working with the breath, you still don't lose the awareness of the breath. But you don't consciously pay attention to it and make it the object of your observation. You only experience it with awareness. That's all. Just like now, you are experiencing with awareness what I am saying, but at the same time you are conscious of everything what is going on around, right? And the in-breath and out-breath is going all the time. Only because we are not habituated of being aware of it, it is not clear. Okay, so now it is 5 o'clock. We will round up here, and tomorrow now stay with a clear mind in the evening, and tomorrow we start what time? As usual, like to the 8 o'clock. And tomorrow there will be time for more talk, more meditation, and especially more discussion. We will leave before we leave, we leave some time open for question and answers, so that you can get confidence in this meditation and feel clear about what you're doing. So I will transfer merit for the benefit of all sentient beings. May they all get mindfulness and awareness that we are struggling become familiar with. If people, beings have awareness and awareness, will have mindfulness and awareness, there will be less and less conflicts and more happiness.
Aka satta chabumurtha deva naga maidika punyantang anumoditva chiram rakantu lokasasanam. Aka satta chabumurtha deva naga maidika punyantang anumoditva chiram rakantu desanam. Aka satta chabumurtha deva naga maidika punyantang anumoditva Chiramakantu tumamparang sabitiyo vivajantu sabarogo vinasatu mate bhavatvantarayo suki dighayuko bhava bhavatu sabamangalang rakantu sabadevata sababudhanubhaven sabadhammanubhaven sabasanganubhaven sada suti bhavantu te devo vasatu kalen sase sampati hetucha Pito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko.
So
we'd like to thank you, teacher, for today's teaching.
Suki bhavatu ipai. Okay, so have a nice evening and see you tomorrow. I hope you come more and more enthusiastic about meditation and more benefiting from it.
Thank you.